Oh my God.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. We are back. Damn, Know What I'm Saying podcast. Should we introduce ourselves again? Because it's been a minute.
Maybe we should.
All right. Well, my name's Mark, and Connor, my co-host. Yes, sir. This is basically a podcast where we talk about, you know, a lot of topics varying from self-improvement and how to like upgrade your life to personal experiences regarding said topics, as well as, you know, just our own personal lives, you know, party stories and cultural experiences and so on. So, thanks for listening to this week's episode. It's been a minute, but we're back. Do we owe a reason possibly for why we've been gone for so long?
I mean, it's a few things probably coming together. I think we wanted to take a break anyways. That's how it started off. Kind of take a break. And then how it is with so many things, if you take a break, suddenly it worked perfectly fine before that, but you take a break and suddenly it's difficult to find the time again.
Yeah.
You had exams for a while, then I was like, we wanted to do record last weekend. I was really badly ill, like I was just in bed sleeping and I didn't do anything. And things like that just add up and suddenly it gets difficult to get it done.
Yeah, we've also recorded past episodes where just we've had like technical difficulties and
true,
audio
that as well,
ended up
that
not
happened
being
once.
Yeah, up to our quality standards. So, but you know, fingers crossed this episode comes out.
Yes,
and
sir.
I say we give an episode that, you know, people could possibly take something from.
Uh huh.
Would you say 100%. So too?
Yeah.
All right, bet.
I mean,
if you don't mind, I'd like to take the lead on the topic of conversation for today.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So here's the thing. Currently, I, as well as a lot of our friends, are finding themselves in a position where, you know, you got to start thinking about the future and what type of like road you'd like to go in, like, you know, what type of stuff you'd like to do, where you'd like to work, where you'd like to study. And certain people will have like high aspirations, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Then always comes a topic of like strategy. Okay, how will we make this happen? You know, how what can I do to study at this university? What can I do to get an interview at this job? And more often than not, the topic of connections will come up, you know?
Yeah.
And so in my personal case, there are a lot of like different viewpoints when it comes to using connections to kind of achieve certain career or educational aspirations, right? Some people mm-hmm. tend to frown upon it. They want to become self-made, you know. Others mm-hmm. others see it as like an advantage, and personally I'd like to hear your opinion as well afterwards, but personally my opinion on like using connections is it's not a bad opinion. I think it's a good thing to use connections, you know. Life is unfair, so when you have a certain strategic advantage, you'd be silly not to, you know, take full advantage of it. And I always think that if you've gotten to a certain place because of a connection, it's not bad as long as you're actually doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. I mean, I think in the first place, I have like different opinions on it, but it's not that it's overall negative. Like, I think that what you just mentioned, that's one aspect to it, is like, yes, people can get, like, you get into, I don't know, you get a job offer or you get a deal or whatever through connections. You get something happens in your business world through a connection. And what you said is like, it's always like, it's almost like a foot in the door, but you still have to like walk through it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And in that way, it's like, I think it's not a negative thing. I mean, someone has worked before that for that connection. It's not like they just pop up, and sometimes they do pop up. It's like family connections or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's it. And it is unfair to people who don't have them, but the thing is also other people that have them, it's not like they don't use them. So, yeah, as you said, it's you could just try to do it all by yourself and just not use them and just leave them on the side. That's fair enough, and that's very noble.
Is it though? Is it noble? Or is it a little bit like egotistical, you know, I say to go that far, you know, like just because of an ego, like you can't take help from other people.
I mean, it depends on what stage you're at. If you're like talking about the thing is where my other opinion comes in is that, yes, you have to, what you said, sometimes you still have to put in the work. You might have gotten an interview through it or something, or just a connection someone else had for you. They connected you with a person that can help you. I'm saying I have a slightly other opinion as well, which I'm just taking into account, is for people that say, especially in our age, who are looking for placements, their first jobs, things like that. There is still a certain amount of effort and you have to put in, not just for doing the work, but maybe also getting into a job. There's other people who don't have the connections and they have to make it work by themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you have to be very aware, and even if you use that connection, just be aware and be conscious of, like, there was a connection in the first place and I didn't do it all by myself, and not kind of like for almost not forgetting that in a sense.
Well, yeah, because I mean, always, like, you pay your dues, yeah. Like, you should always be appreciative. I'm not saying that, like, it's something that should be taken for granted, you know? But at the same time as well, like, if you use a connection to, for example, get an interview, that doesn't mean you got the job. You got an interview. You still have to prove yourself in the interview to show that you're worth it, you know? They just maybe, like, put you, shine the flashlight on you, but otherwise you still have to prove yourself. So yeah, 100%. I think people can like still use connections and still take like credit for, you know, making to the job, because at the end of the day, a school is not going to have you study there, or a company is not going to have you work there if you're not qualified to work there, you know? I would say in most 100%. Cases, let's say, I would say that.
Yeah, I mean, there is people who try to use their connections, or probably where it has happened, where people got an advantage through a connection that it turned out that...
Yeah.
Like they were useless, but ideally it's, as I said, it's not so, the connection shouldn't do it for you, but just help you maybe start things, get you along on the right
path. Yeah, but it's also like, it's also just like a matter of getting help, you know? Like some people just don't want to use a connection, not even like because it automatically means they get the job. They just don't even want the help getting the job or the education spot or whatever it is, you know? They just don't want help. And that's where I think, like, there you're kind of, like, tripping over your own feet, you know? If you're not even, like, accepting help from people that are willing to offer it to you with only, like, the purest intentions...
Yeah.
I mean, then you're kind of just, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. Like, that in my opinion, is just... It's not ideal, especially when the help comes from people that are, you know, coming from a place where they can like confidently speak on a certain topic and give you like advice based on their own experiences. And when you see as well, like where these people have come in their life, to like not have to listen to what they say is a little bit, I'd say, naive, because obviously they've done something right to end up in the place where they are. So to not accept their help when it's being offered with only the nicest intentions, you're just, I think that then it's just like, you know, that's a little, I'd even say like arrogant.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. 100%, I mean, like that's an extreme word, but.
I think it also, it just really depends on the situation. Let's say you have someone who, our age, you get an interview for an internship. So just an internship, nothing major at the end of the day in the big scheme of things, just an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that interview, that's it. Fair enough, and that maybe comes from a family member who don't expect much more, but they're also probably, I mean, we're yet to experience this, but if you listen to people online, to maybe people you know later on in the business world, connections are yes, on the one side, very important. Networking is a big thing that a lot of people, they say, take away everything, but I want to keep my network. This is like how I make my money, how I do business, because I've built a vast network over the years. But on the other hand, there's also this sense of like later on in life when you have connections and people help you, not everyone has, maybe like as a family member, has the sole intention of helping you. You know what I mean? There's maybe later they'll tell you, yeah, it's fine. Like here's a connection. Like, or here, I'm gonna help you with this. But there comes a time where they expect something back, which is also, again, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it's always a give and take.
Yeah.
They provided you with something, you provide them back. But there's also always that risk that you don't know what they're going to expect of you in return. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know their intentions, and then suddenly you're in a situation where they've helped you. So shown a sense of kindness, then they expect something of you that you're not comfortable with, in a sense, or you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But then you're in this like little, I don't know the English word, a moral like dilemma, where it's like, I kind of owe this person, but I don't feel comfortable what they expect from me. And
well, in that case, I think personally, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, there are plenty of stories of people that will have like engaged in, let's say, not the most ethical or moral career aspirations, you know, in like the entertainment industry and what so on. And I, at least from like, you know, interviews that I've like stumbled across on my Instagram page or someone sent me, that like most of the time people that have like, let's say, taken an opportunity in exchange for like a bad favor to give, they've always regretted it. They've always regretted it, because at the end of the day, you know, like kind of like selling yourself a little bit or whatever the thing is, or maybe you're asked to do something that's not like not in your own morals, you know, and that then you're also kind of like, then it's not coming from a good place. Like that's what I said before, right? Like if help's being offered to you without the nicest intentions, then like don't engage with it.
Mm.
You know?
I'm just saying that I think later on in life, you just have to be weary, because some people do not trick you is harsh, but like in a sense trick you, like they know, or at the time when they give you, do a favor for you, it's all meant in a nice way, but then later on in later stages, suddenly when they need something, it's maybe not as nice anymore, but they'll hold over you. Oh, but remember when I helped you there, or remember when I did this for you, you've got to help me now. I don't know. I'm just saying like there's so much more to it, but 100% from where we started, if it's, let's say, a family member or a longtime friend, and you can never be 100% certain, but you are pretty sure that it comes from a good place and it's just purely to help. I think if you're conscious about what you're doing and still put in the effort, there's nothing too majorly wrong with that. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe thing, we're like, missing a part of the argument. Maybe we're having a different view on it. Maybe there's, I mean, maybe the listeners have a different opinion on this and could tell. I mean, not now, but like I don't know.
Write us on Instagram. Let us know. Instagram or something. Know what I'm saying? Podcast. But,
but
always plug.
From my view, I think you said the two most important things. I think it would be a bit naive to not take the help. But at the end of the day, you still got to put in your own work and your own effort. And if you do that, it's also a sense of like showing appreciation also to the person who helped you. It's not just for yourself. I think if someone, because connections and things like that, helping you in the business world, every time someone does that for you, they put their name on the line kind of for you.
As well.
They've built up a reputation, they've built up this connection or whatever, and they're putting that to a certain extent on the line for you to give you an advantage or help you in a certain way. And if you then, not necessarily with money, but like repaying that is by putting in the work, not disappointing the people that you then do business with. That's a very, in my opinion, a very, very important thing. And that's why I'm also very, that's my way of, besides saying thank you, showing a sense of appreciation for whoever has helped me in putting in the work and the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Cool. can we steer the conversation into a different direction? Because it's something that I would kind of like to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I've got to say thank you to the 100,000 people that have followed me on Instagram. Yeah,
that's what I wanted to mention that before you said, "Oh, let's can I steer this conversation?" I was about to say that. I think let me first congratulate before you say thank you to the people. I want to congratulate you to that. I mean, it's a big milestone. It's a big thing. 100,000 people, I think you're going to probably talk about a lot of people, and a lot of people are interested in your stuff. And in my opinion, I mean, people have their opinions about an influencer, let's say, but there's still a lot of work that goes into it. So yeah, very proud of you. Yeah, and congrats, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's definitely like surreal to think about it, you know, to say the least, like 100,000 people. And I'm just posting videos of my day to day, like, you know, that's pretty cool. Thank you to everyone that's, you know, chosen to follow me for whatever reason. You know, I appreciate it. And I'm very excited to see like all the opportunities that come with this, you know. I mean, already now, like the doors that have opened for me in like social media this last month alone have been absolutely surreal. I mean, like, I would say way more than, you know, the last year that I've been doing it. And it's just crazy, bro.
I mean, probably like the more you grow, like there's an exponential factor to it. I mean, there's more than just followers. I mean, I reckon also all these things like engagement and stuff like that are very important. Yeah. But if you manage to grow in followers and still keep that engagement going, it's very not just cool for you, but also then later on for everything, all the business opportunities that may arise from that is very attractive for loads of companies for different reasons. Definitely it's a cool and exciting time for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited to see what happens. My entire TikTok for you page consists of mostly influencers that have been invited to really cool events, and they like do like a vlog about the whole experience. Like this one girl was invited to like the new Avatar movie premiere.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool,
others will get invited to like a really fancy Christmas dinner party from Dior and stuff like that. I'm just like, damn, like looking forward to doing that too. Like I'm down for that as well, you know.
Yeah, no, 100%. There is a lot of, because at the end of the day, it's, you put in the work to get all these, the followers, the reach and all these things, and brands want to leverage that off you, but in return you also get a decent opportunities out of that as well. So
yeah
I think if you do it right, have a bit of luck, maybe, I think it can go quite well. So well, we'll just have to see what Mark Rupp does.
What Mark Rupp does. What about you, bro? You had your last day of your internship today.
Yeah, I had that? It in my laptop, all that stuff. It was weird. I don't know. I mean, my internship was 6 months. And
at BMW, right?
Yeah, BMW, exactly. And you do this, like, half year I spent at that company, 5 days a week working. And from one day on to the other, it's just done like that. And like, obviously, you know, it's coming, like, but it's weird, like doing something constantly like that. And then it's just gone. Like I walked out of the office, looked back. I was like, I was about to cross a street to walk over to the train. And I was like, well, I don't know the next time I'm going to see this place. Like I used to walk here, like pass here every day. And suddenly it's like, no more. Like it's a weird,
did you get a little
sensation.
Emotional, Connor?
not emotional necessarily, like, but it's just weird how like suddenly it switched. It's nothing crazy, and like I'm looking forward to the time ahead as well, but it's just a weird feeling how it just,
it's essentially a chapter in your life that's been finished, you know, and like now you turn the page onto like a new chapter. So it's like,
it's like not like you have a friendship with someone and it just over time it fizzles out, but you don't even quite notice it happening. You just like, it gets less and less, however.
Yeah.
It's like a hard cut. It's like one day I was in the office and the next day I'm not, and I'm not going back. Like it's just done.
Thanks.
And that's what I mean, it's just a weird sensation. But yeah, that's done. Looking for a second internship at the moment, but I've got a few other things I've got to deal with before that.
You're gonna get your knee operated, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you get your knee operated, how long are you like kind of unable to walk and you essentially have to lay in bed all day?
I don't know how, I'm trying to remember how it was last time. I think for the first 2 to 4 weeks, like 3-4 weeks, I think, something like that, around that, something between 2 to 4 weeks, you're on crutches and you can pretty much put no weight on it. And you're mostly just lying in bed.
So essentially, what do you do during that time, you know, to keep yourself entertained?
Do you read, do you watch movies? It's read, it's Netflix. I've been thinking of doing like my Excel abilities aren't quite there where I want them to be. So I've been thinking of buying a course and just doing that. I can do that on my laptop in bed, so that's not a problem. Stuff like that. Yeah, it's probably trying to use the time as most effectively as possible, which is kind of probably just improving my abilities, my knowledge or whatever, which I can do from bed, which is stuff like reading, doing courses or something. Yeah, I'm thinking about doing stuff like that, just to use the time as effectively as possible. Like I can move, I'm not constantly in bed, like I can move around, but you just have to, the problem is it has to be like elevated. So when I sit down, I can't, for example, traveling will be difficult because in a plane, even on a, if you're on a short haul flight, it's not like your legs are still bent and downward, stuff like that. So that just makes it difficult. But hopefully all that period won't take too long. And then afterwards, I'm not as mobile as a normal person, but I can move around a bit more. And that's the time when I want to start my second internship. That's my life at the moment.
Fun stuff.
We'll see. I mean, I'm sure I'll keep the podcast up to date where my next step is in regards to an internship. Hopefully all works out the way I imagine.
What you can definitely do when you're laying in bed during those weeks is record some awesome podcasts, you know what I'm saying?
100%. I can do that from bed comfortably, just chill there. All I need is a mic and a laptop. That's it at the end of the day.
That's
the beauty of it. So, no, I'm looking forward to it as well. Stuff like that is also, I mean, don't want to get too deep, but like I like to be very active, and just lying around like that, it fucks with your head a bit. Like you just, they come, like, you know, the first week, it's the same when, like, as a kid, I was really sick. Like the first few days, you're like, it's all right. Like you watch some Netflix, a movie or whatever, read a bit, stuff like that. And it's all good, but then there comes this point where like you just get sick of it and you want to do something again. So yeah, and I love to do my sports, obviously. I mean, we've talked about this as well. That's going to be difficult for me. During times like that, every little like you can do, like for example recording a podcast and stuff. I mean, back when I did it, this is my second time I have to operate my knee. When I did it the first time, like I went to physiotherapy twice a week, and even when I knew, oh, maybe this session is going to be a bit uncomfortable, it's going to hurt a bit or whatever, I was always looking forward to it because that's the time where I get to do something, I'm active again. This is the most sporty stuff I'm going to be able to do at the moment. So podcast is definitely on the list to keep going, so to have a bit of fun.
How about we do a segment of Mark's Random Facts right now?
Yeah, I was thinking then, you're going to move into that.
And then we finish the episode, because I do know you're on a little bit of a time strain, so I want to make sure that we finish punctually. all right, check it. This first one is actually quite noble. So, you know, the three-point seatbelt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that three-point seatbelt was invented by Volvo. And they didn't patent the three-point seatbelt, the one that goes across your chest and your waist, so that all cars could use it and everybody would be a little bit safer. I just found that really interesting, because imagine if they actually patented that and, like, you know, either seatbelts wouldn't be as safe as they are today, or Volvo would have made a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it is. I mean, it helps as well, because that is their it's part of their marketing, part of their brand of Volvo.
Yeah, it's their key USP.
The safe option. Yeah, it's being safe. It's being people who want to have a car that's as safe as possible. And that just plays into it. So,
for real.
Very noble of them.
The next one. The next one. When you have, like, let's say a wooden spoon that's heavier on one side than it is on the other.
Yeah.
To find the balance of the spoon.
Yeah.
Because it won't be the middle point, because one side of the spoon is heavier than the other. You start with your fingers holding it on both sides, and you just kind of, like, go in the middle and then kind of balance the spoon out with the length of the fingers. And then once you reach the middle, that's how you can find the balance every time.
I've heard, when I heard that the first time, like, I went back home and I tried it with different objects and stuff. And I thought I don't know, there's probably, you can scientifically very easily explain that, or mathematically how that happens, why that happens like that. But I just found it cool, like, actually doing it and seeing how it works.
It is, right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. And otherwise, I do know this one from you. You told this to me the other day.
Okay.
The average marathon pace of the world record holder for the fastest marathon ever ran. 42 kilometers in 2 hours. That's a pace of 21 kilometers per hour. I don't know if people know how fast that is. Like, that's pretty much like a sprint for an average person. No, it is for me. Like,
sprinting.
Bro, this person was sprinting for 2 hours. And what you told me, I hope, like, it's coming from a credible source. But you said that they had people, average people, try and run this marathon pace, which the record holder did for 2 hours, was able to hold for 2 hours. For 42 kilometers, these people could only hold it for 150 meters.
When did I tell you this?
You had a few drinks beforehand.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. But to be fair, I don't know if that number is factually correct, but I reckon somewhere in that ballpark makes a lot of sense, because if you think about that, 21 kilometers, like, first of all, not trying to step too close to the average person, but I don't know how many people could actually run that fast in the first place. Second thing, keeping that pace is just insane. If you look at Kipchoge's a guy. He's like a legend in the marathon scene. And there's also a lot of tech stuff that goes into it, like different marathon courses. Some are more flat, like have like and are all on tarmac and stuff, and they're very like nice courses where you can keep a high speed going. Stuff like that does make a difference. Your shoe work, all that stuff, definitely. But still, nonetheless, to a certain extent, that level of running is just insane. And if you go on YouTube, try like search it up, just look at it. Like, you can, won't tell you the speed, like he doesn't have a speedometer on his forehead, but just seeing like how quick he moves, you know that is a fast pace, and holding that for a whole marathon is
amazing.
I don't think I could, like, maybe also because of my physical stature that I'm like a taller guy, but like no matter how long I trained, if I could never do that. That is insane.
That guy as well, I mean, I think he comes from like, I'm not 100% sure if this is correct, so like this could be wrong, but I believe he comes from like Ethiopia. And this village where he comes from,
Kenya,
in Kenya, and where he comes from in Kenya, I believe they're at a high elevation as well. So the air is different. It's not like, you know, in like Europe or whatever. They're in a higher elevation, so the air is a lot thinner and it's a lot more difficult to breathe. So they're training in these conditions, and then they come to like, let's say, normal conditions. They have as well, such from like the breathing, they're used to like way worse.
Yeah. That's, yeah, here I just got up in yeah, he ran the marathon distance in Vienna, achieving a time of 1:59:40.2.
Wow.
That's okay, the run did not count as a new marathon record as standard competition rules for pacing and fluids were not followed and was not an open event. I think what happened then was he just did that run by himself or with a few runners. It was like and he had like perfect conditions. So they probably said, okay, this is not, doesn't count like as a, but he still ran that distance in that time. But I think even crazy. his marathon, like the marathon record isn't massively far off. So it's still quick as hell, like
quick as hell.
I can't fathom it. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Okay. He also holds, I think, the marathon world record, and that is 2 hours and 1 minute. So it's 2 minutes, pretty much slower than the other one.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
But anyways, that being said, you know, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Know What I'm Saying. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Know What I'm Saying Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Once again, I'm Mark.
I'm Connor.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Next time. See you guys.
Whenever that is. We don't know. Hopefully not too long last time.
Yeah, no, hopefully next week or get back to regular postings.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, until then.
See ya.